very special women have made a difference in the life of violist Matthew Lipman. One is violinist Rachel Barton Pine. In fact, the instrument he's playing on his new solo recording is an instrument that Rachel Barton Pine has loaned him. The other important woman is his mom. Matthew Lipman's mother died about 4 years ago, and she was instrumental in his success growing up. So he's dedicated his first solo recording to her. It's called Ascent. You'll find out about that and much more this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julie Almacher. I'm talking with Matthew Lipman, a violist who's just released his very first recording. It's titled Ascent. Thank you for joining me, Matthew.
Thanks so much for having me, Julie.
Let's introduce you to our listeners. There may be people who aren't familiar with you and the work that you've done so far. Is this right? You're 26 years old and a Chicago native?
That's right.
So you won an Avery Fisher Career Grant when you were, what, 22 or so?
Yeah, it was a while ago, and it was a total surprise when I got the call for that one.
So tell me about that. Tell me about you being surprised and also what you've been able to do with that grant.
Sure, yeah. I had just started performing regularly with the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center at the time, and I think that exposure helped lead to that Avery Fisher grant. And I was actually traveling home to Chicago for winter break. I was, I think, in my senior year of undergrad at the time. And I remember being on the plane and getting a phone call. And I think I probably, you know, screamed on the plane and everybody looked or something like that because I just couldn't believe it. Honestly, the legacy of the grant is so huge. And what it means not only is obviously financial support. I was able to purchase a bow to go along with the viola that I have on loan to me. But what it really means is it's kind of like a stamp of approval in the classical music world. All of a sudden, if I have a project idea, I can pitch it confidently to people because they know that an Avery Fisher Career Grant winner is somebody who's respected in the field. And so to me, that is the biggest legacy that the grant offers.
Can you tell me a little bit about your instrument now that you have a matching bow?
Sure. I've been playing on an instrument from the year 1700 by the great founder of the Venetian violin school of making, Matteo Gofriller. And I've had it on loan almost 9 years now. And it's on loan from Rachel Barton Pine in Chicago. These old instruments tend to be full of personality, and it really feels like a marriage or like a relationship over these past 9 years. So there have been ups and downs, but at this point, I really feel like it's become my voice, and I'm incredibly lucky to be able to play such an instrument of this caliber.
We should mention that you have recorded with Rachel Barton Pine. She has been an advocate of you and your work.
Yes, I have. We recorded the Mozart Sinfonia Concertante for violin, viola, and orchestra together with the late Sir Neville Mariner. You know, I remember telling my professor at the time that this opportunity had arisen, and her husband at the time said, well, it's only downhill from here. And I mean, it's pretty funny that he said that because it was also just like a dream come true to get a call asking if I would record with, you know, Neville Mariner and Academy of St. Martin in the Fields. And I think at the time I was 21 or something like that. And that was crazy for me as well.
Well, your mom must have been incredibly proud of you. Did she have an opportunity to see some of your success?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. She was around for that recording, and she was still around when I started performing with the Chamber Music Society. So she got to see a lot, and of course, I dedicated this album to her memory. I think it's been 4 years about since she passed away, and you know, the original catalyst behind the album was purely musical. And then afterwards I was thinking, you know, it would be really nice to dedicate this to her because, you know, music is what I do. and I wanted to just do something in her memory because she was so important to me.
Did this start when you asked Clarice Assad to write a piece in memory of her?
Yeah, the original beginning to the whole program was I was touring with a recital program of fantasy pieces, and I then wanted to commission a piece to go along with that program. I actually had met some awesomely generous sponsors on a cruise I was playing on in 2016 who offered to sponsor that commission. And then, of course, when all of it came together, it became clear that we had to record it. And Rachel Bartenpine actually introduced me to Jim Ginsberg, who runs Sadie Records. So all of it kind of just, you know, was thrown into the mix, and then it came out the way that you're hearing it now, and I couldn't be happier with the way it all turned out.
Now, initially, Clarice was a little apprehensive about writing this piece. Is that right? Because it was a huge responsibility to write a piece in memory of your mom.
Yeah, well, she and I hit it off so well when we first met, and we had many conversations before she ever wrote a note, and she's one of the most empathetic people I know, very sensitive and emotional, and she's an amazing friend. And so I actually didn't realize when I first asked her that it would be so personally meaningful for her as well. But we got to know each other, and she wanted to know about my relationship with my mom, and she took it very seriously, and the piece turned out great, I think. When we did the world premiere performance of it in November, it was definitely the highlight of the program. Everybody loved it, and it's in two parts, and the first part is very clearly kind of a commentary on the grief process. It has motives that cycle throughout the piece, but in the first movement, they're very dark and inward. And then the second movement is really a celebration and an acceptance, and those motives they transform into positivity and have dance-like qualities. So it's an amazing piece.
And she uses the evolution, if you will, of the butterfly to tell this story, which is really a beautiful image.
I agree, yeah. That was completely her idea. One of my favorite parts of the whole piece is I actually think it's incredibly innovative how she ends it. Rather than ending with a loud or soft chord, the viola and piano kind of flutter away, and it sounds exactly like butterfly wings, in and out, fluttering as we also fly away.
So Metamorphose, the title of this piece, actually became the nucleus of this recording called Ascent.
Mm-hmm.
And it led to you creating an entire recording around Flights of Fantasy, which was something you'd already been working on. But tell me how all of these pieces kind of came together, because really for a debut recording, this is pretty challenging.
Yeah, it is very challenging, and all of the repertoire on the program is wildly varied. All the pieces are so different from one another, but that was actually sort of my goal going into this. I really wanted to present a program that was versatile and varied, and also kind of juxtaposed romantic viola favorites with new music that people may have not heard yet, like the Garth Knox. And two pieces that people probably most certainly didn't hear yet are the Clarice Assad and the Shostakovich Impromptu. So I wanted it to be varied. And one thing that I was thinking about in regards to the title is that it always occurred to me that fantasy-themed pieces don't really obey the laws of gravity. They seem to kind of float from one character to another rather than develop in large scale like a symphony or a sonata would. And also, two of the pieces are directly alluding to flight on the program. So I wanted to title the CD something to do with flying. And Ascent just stood out because this is kind of dedicated to my mom. Ascent can allude to the upward momentum that happens throughout life and after. So it's kind of a double meaning, personal, and it also describes all of the repertoire on the album.
Will you talk about the other two pieces that refer specifically to flight, please?
Yes, absolutely. The first one is Garth Nock's Fuga Libre. The piece title has a double meaning. It is a free form fugue. It starts out with the kind of Baroque convention of a fugue with subjects entering after another, but it also translates to free flight. And at the end of the piece, it really sounds as if the violist is taking off. And it's become a favorite of mine in my recitals. And of course, then the other piece that has the image of flight is Clarice's Metamorphose.
The recording opens with Fantasy for Viola and Piano by York Bowen. He was referred to as the English Rachmaninoff. Why is that?
Well, I think once you hear his music, it's very clear that he wears his heart on his sleeve pretty much all the time. You know, in expression, it's the height of romanticism. And this Fantasy is my favorite of the pieces that he wrote for viola, which actually he wrote a lot. He was a violist himself. And I think it's masterfully composed. He develops motives really well and seems to change character really quickly throughout. Also, I think Henry Kramer, my collaborative partner in this whole project, especially in the Bowen, just sounds world-class, just fantastic. The piano part is notoriously difficult in that piece, and I think he really brings such a special quality to it.
You've been performing together for the past 6 years. And you met when you were undergrads at the Juilliard School, which I was thinking about as you were telling me about the Avery Fisher Career Grant and how stunned you were that you won it. Were you and he friends at that time?
Yeah, I believe so. So the first time we played together was in 2012 at the Staines Institute at Ravinia Festival in Chicago. But I like to tell the story that we actually met before then. He doesn't remember or won't admit to it, but Henry was a secondary piano teacher at Juilliard, and as freshmen, we all have to come in for orientation and audition for secondary piano class if you're not there to study piano. And I remember being so nervous to just be at Juilliard in general, and I showed up and I played my, you know, low-level Bach invention, and I messed up, and I remember Henry giggling, and so that was my first introduction to him. But yeah, that we became friends after that, thankfully. So
there's another world premiere on this recording, and it's a piece that was recently discovered, an impromptu by Shostakovich. ¶¶ Tell me how you were able to acquire this score to use it for this recording.
You know, I think that a lot of luck was involved in getting the music for this, because news broke of this new discovery. The impromptu had been in a drawer in the household of a violist who was playing in the Glazunov String Quartet in Moscow many years ago. No one knew about it, and the news of this broke in September of 2017 in a Strad magazine article with very little information. But I think the luck came in because I actually had met Dr. Mila Kovnatskaya, who chairs the Shostakovich Archive in St. Petersburg, when I was on tour in Russia the previous year. So I was able to get directly in contact with one of the proponents of this new work. And the answer I got the first time I contacted her was, no, sorry, yeah, I can't send you the score, it's not published. And then I waited a few months, and I had heard that the piece had been premiered by Yuri Bashmet in Russia, the first performance of it. So I contacted her again, this time sending her clips of my playing and telling her that my intention was to record it. And luckily, I received her good graces, and she said, you know, I love your playing and we'd love to have you record it. So she sent me the score before it was published, and, you know, it just fortuitously worked out. And we recorded it and wanted to release it as soon as possible. So we, Sadie and I, made it a digital download, kind of a single to the whole album.
And it turns out, isn't this one of only two works that he wrote for viola?
It's true. The other one is the last piece he ever wrote, which is sort of interesting. The 1975 Viola Sonata, which is huge in scope and very reflective in nature. And this one is short, and it's a perfect little gem, like an encore type piece.
You've also featured the very first recording on viola of the Carmen Fantasy by Franz Waxman. Tell me a little bit about this work and why you wanted to include it.
So this was originally a project of mine from school, and I remember my friends at the time were telling me that I'm crazy to think that, you know, you can play this virtuosic violin showpiece that was composed for Yasha Heifetz, who's the greatest violinist probably who ever lived. And they were saying that I'm crazy to try to attempt a piece like this on the viola. And I said, I'm not crazy. Carmen's a mezzo. It makes perfect sense to play this piece on the viola. The viola is the mezzo-soprano of the string family. So I really wanted to bring out the operatic qualities in this. And I do at least attempt to play all of the virtuosic stuff as it was intended on the violin as well.
The Fairy Tale Pictures by Robert Schumann is a four-movement work, and the composer didn't really have a program set up for these little fairy tales, so I'm curious what you're imagining as you play these pieces.
Absolutely, great question. At this point in 1851, when Schumann composed this piece, things were not so easy for him in regards to his personality disorders. Schumann's famous for struggling with bipolar disease, and by 1851, it wasn't necessarily going so well for him. So I like to think that he was drawn to the sound of the viola at this particular time because of its soulful and almost dark qualities. And like you said, there is no direct program for these character pieces, but they all explore very specific characters. They're not directly related to one another, but they are just exploding with personality individually. And in that regard, like with any great composer, anything you imagine really could fit with these. The second movement sounds like horses galloping to me. And the third one is almost like a Schubertian song with the running triplets underneath. It's just, it's really inspired writing, and violists everywhere are so lucky to have this piece as a giant in our repertoire.
Your recording Ascent is a tribute for your late mother, and I was just curious, do you ever get the sense that maybe she's right there with you when you're playing these pieces?
Yeah, absolutely. Just like Carol Burnett used to wiggle her ear to her mom every show, I think about my mom constantly when I'm performing. And I think it's just really nice to have an official project to release that is specifically dedicated to her, because she was so instrumental, pun intended, in my development. She was the one who drove me to all of my lessons, and when I started doing competitions in high school, she would take me all around the country to do competitions. It just felt like the right thing to do, and I know that she is listening from above.
A new recording of fantasy pieces that also celebrates the life of a very special woman, the mother of Matthew Lipman. The recording is called Ascent, and it's this week's feature on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. With special thanks to Valerie Kaler for producing this episode, I'm Julie Amacher.